Hey,
hello.
How you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Me good. I'm good.
Yes,
all good.
Party
how
on.
You doing?
Excellent.
Right on.
Well, hey, this is a big weekend for our church. A big weekend for Pastor Mike and I, as this is the official pastoral succession transition.
Oh.
It's kind of crazy that it's here,
because
we've been
here.
Planning this for a while. A
couple of years, eight years in the planning. So it's
eight in your mind. I became aware about five.
Yeah, well, we weren't sure about you. Yeah.
3-year trial.
Three years of, dear God, Lord, are you sure? Anyway, seriously, we have been in a succession planning process for 8 years. And then about 5 years ago, we included James in our conversation and asked him if he would pray about and consider being the next lead pastor of East Lake Church. And he gave us a thumbs up yes. And over the last couple of years, especially the last 18 months, it's been a very deliberate part of the plan for me to pass on to James all the crap that I don't like to do, and which has been just awesome. And the goal of that has, this whole process has been, when it is done, and it's Monday, that really nothing changes, because all along in this process, it hasn't been, you know, okay, we're going to do everything Mike's way, and then when James is in charge, now we get to really do the stuff I wanted to do. We've been doing this collaboratively for years, and not just James and I, but a much broader team as well. And so the great thing about this whole succession planning has been nothing really changes, you know. It's just not that big a deal. What I'm really retiring from is meetings, which is awesome, by the way.
So this is Mike and I's next that God has led us into. And if you're new around here and you really don't care about us, we do have a sermon today as well. The big idea of this series is that God has a next for all of us.
Yeah.
That in every one of our lives, consistently, daily, God is always leading and guiding and inviting us into a next with Him. Around here for decades, we've said it this way: what's your next right step? What is that next decision that God is inviting you into, that next opportunity of surrender to Him, that next level of engagement in His mission at your job, in your circle of friends? And so what we've said is this series is about us as a community of people being aware of the next that God has for us and then making ourselves ready. And this idea of next, we actually have a theme verse that we have for this series. It's found in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Everybody grab that outline out of your program if you haven't already, or click over there on notes. It'll be on the screen, and I would love for us to read this verse out loud together. All of our churches, welcome everybody on Facebook, parent viewing rooms, patios. Let's all read this out loud together. Ready, begin.
See,
I am doing a new thing.
Now it springs up.
Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. As we said last week, this verse is spoken to the nation of Israel at a time in their history where they're coming out of captivity. Captivity?
Yeah.
That's the right way to say that.
Wow, it's a tough word.
I won't say what just came to my mind. Better stick to the notes here. They're coming out of captivity in Babylon, and they've for 70 years been away from Jerusalem and been away from their homeland, and there's a 900-mile journey in front of them from Babylon to Jerusalem. And what God is saying is, you know what? I'm up to something new. Don't you see it? There's this new next for you, and it's such a good plan. And even though you still have a journey, I'm making a way in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the wasteland, the journey that they had in front of them. And this is what God does, and it's what He still does today. That God sets captives free, and He makes ways for us even through difficult times. And so our prayer for you during this series, and even today, as we're going to talk a little bit about our next, is that you would realize God has a next really good thing for you. And even if you feel like you got some desert and wasteland in front of you, that God's going to be with you through that journey.
And so what you're saying here is, now that you're taking over, you're leading us out of this season of wasteland captivity under my leadership, and I appreciate that. That's
free to interpretation.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, you make a wonderful Christian and a really bad savior.
That is true.
That's true, yes. Every one of our stories has a backstory. You do, I do. It's a fact of life that where you are in your life today has a whole lot to do with where you've been. And the relationships in your life, the experiences you've had, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. It all contributes to where you are, whether that's your family, whether that is your career, and it's also true in church as well. And have you ever been in a situation where you found yourself, like all of a sudden you sort of wake up to, how did I get here? How in the world did I get here first? Many of you, that was Saturday morning, but that's a different subject. But the whole idea of, oh my gosh, and if you look at your life, you can say, you know what, it was this decision, or it was what they chose, and now I'm in this bad place, in this difficult place. One story I loved is a friend who said their nephew went to first grade, first day of first grade, and he had been in kindergarten, half day, and now first grade, full day. So he goes to school and eats his lunch, and when he's done with lunch, he goes into the coat room, puts his coat on, grabs his lunch pail, and he's walking out the door. And the teacher said, whoa, wait, where are you going? What are you doing? He's saying, I'm going home. Lunch is over. She said, well, no, you're in first grade now, and it's full day. He said, well, who the hell signed me up for this? And maybe you find yourself in a situation where you're thinking the same thing. You know, I don't remember signing up for this. Who did this to me? And I don't know about you, but when you find yourself there, that how did I get here? You know, this is crazy hard. I don't necessarily see a way through the situation that I'm in. Well, one of the things we need to do is remember. And, you know, when life gets tough, it's easy to forget that Jesus loves you, that he'll never leave you or forsake you. It's easy to forget where God has intercepted your life in the past. And then when life gets better, it's also easy to forget that God helped you, strengthened you, filled you with the power of his Spirit. It's easy to forget all that and think, hey, I did pretty good. I'm amazing. And we can forget at either end of that spectrum. Look at Deuteronomy 11. Remember today what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences with him. And as I look at that landscape of my life, I see some mountaintops, I see some dark valleys. I see all of that. But the good news is that Jesus wasn't waiting for me on the mountaintop until I struggled through the valley. When I look back, Jesus has been with me in all of it and helping me and strengthening me to walk through. But he's not yelling from the mountaintop for me to get it together. You know, he's always there ready to walk with us. And, you know, my idea of faith is that he strengthens us for the task, not that if I have enough faith, then I won't go through any difficulty. If I have enough faith, then I'll be blessed in everything I do, and everything will work, and I'll be rich. And, you know, it's just not really been my experience. I find that you still go through stuff, but you don't go through it alone. And you're strengthened for it, and you actually are changed by it. Here's the big idea for today. Looking at our past helps us see our lives from God's perspective and then to trust him. And that's a great thing, especially if you're like me and you're kind of the first Jesus follower in your family. My family doesn't have a rich history of following Jesus. You know, my dad's side of the family from the hills of Arkansas, Tennessee, you know, where you go to family reunions to meet girls. It's not a lot of Jesus following. Some of you are just getting that. Way to go. When I was a 17-year-old high school dropout, I had a kind of a random next experience that changed my life. And I was out cruising around with some buddies and listening to the Doobie Brothers. and smoking some doobies. And I passed a doobie to my buddy. And he said, no, I got saved last night. I said, from what? I had no idea what he was talking about. It's like, wow, what happened, you know? And anyway, he said, well, come to church with me. Just he couldn't really explain it all. He didn't have any theology or anything. He just said, well, just come with me, see for yourself. And I said, yes. And it completely changed the trajectory of my life. Absolutely turned my life, I would say upside down, but actually turned it right side up. It was an amazing process that I entered into. Well, James and I are in this planned succession. So we've both had to say yes to this planning of succession. And there's another example of this in Scripture where Moses is leading Israel and now Joshua is going to take his place. And we're going to read a section from Joshua 4 about some of the instructions that God gave him that he passed on to Israel. But I'm really glad we didn't choose at this point to read Joshua 1, verse 2, which begins like this. Moses, my servant, is dead. I'm not dead yet, you know. So with that in mind, Joshua 4. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? And then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever.
And we have some great memorial moments in our church's history. And the instruction that God gives Joshua there is to set up this memorial so you don't forget. That's the big idea, that we look back and we go, wow, look at what God did. And that it actually builds our faith for the future. We are in a season right now as a church, and if you're regular on here, you know this. It's called Cannonball, where we're jumping all in to God's mission and hoping and praying to create some big kingdom of God waves together. Now, and as Mike and I were talking, one of the things that Cannonball did for us as a church is it helped us create some of those memorial maker moments, where as a church, we looked back and said, wow, look at what God has done over the last 20 years. And when you look back, we see things from his perspective, how he led, how he guided, how he provided, and then it actually builds our faith for the future. We put this in a video, and I want to share the short version with you. It's just a little over 2 minutes long. And if you're regular around here, you were here last year during Cannonball, you saw this, but it's a great reminder of these memorial moments in our church's history. And if you're new around here, and you wonder, you know, what is the story of this church? I think you'll enjoy this. Watch this.
In 1991, a few families got together in a living room and decided to have church. As more and more people were invited into this faith community, they began searching for larger spaces to meet in. Over the years, East Lake Church has met in a variety of locations and spaces, each one adding its own piece of the story, each one a stepping stone to what's next. What started in a living room has grown into a network of churches. What began as East Lake Church has grown to include East Lake Imperial Beach, Torrey Pines Church, East Lake Salt Lake City, The Bridge, Venice Church, East Lake Temecula, and East Lake Tijuana. Our network has been blessed with a God-sized vision to reach people, to proclaim the name of Jesus to everyone in each of our communities. We've come a long way. With the help of those before us, we have arrived here. But this isn't where the vision stops. The future is incredibly bright, ripe with opportunity to help more people find and follow Jesus, to help more people take their next right steps and turn to a relationship with a living, loving God.
The next part of our journey is called Cannonball. The sole purpose is to help every person who attends our churches to deepen their walk with God, to grow in their trust and relationship with Him, and to grow in surrender in every area of our lives. We all will be on this journey together. No matter your history, where you are from, or what you've done, you are a part of our family. It's up to us to see the vision of this church continue to move forward. Think back to the families who started this church in a living room. You think they ever could have envisioned their church growing into this amazing network that we have today? What will we say when we look back 20 years from now? What will we see? What will others see? We are in this together. If we all, you, me, every person who calls this their home, jumps in and make waves, God can do the impossible. Cannonball.
That's awesome. Well, obviously, I'm super grateful and thankful for all that God has done over these last 20 years. It really is amazing. And I believe that not only is He up to something now, but there is great plans that He has in store for us as we move forward in this over the next two decades. But through this process of succession planning, Carmen and I have been just reflecting on, remember this, and we were talking about that first day that we drove down and we're going to meet with some folks that their pastor was leaving. There were about 100 adults meeting at Eastlake High School, setting up and tearing down every week. And so, you know, we're looking for another pastor, and would you come and talk with us? And so we're driving around, and there's nothing here. It's like, okay, I come to Eastlake. And we came to Eastlake, and it's like, there's like a grocery store. So we're going to pastor Jackrabbits. And, you know, there was nothing here. But as we drove around and prayed, we really felt like the Lord was saying, this is your next. This is your next assignment. And we began to see what could be and believe for that and walk into that. And there have been so many memorials along the way to that very thing, that first building that we saw in that video after coming from Eastlake High School, and then boom, we had a permanent facility. And then we doubled that in size so that it would seat like 400 people. It was like this amazing thing. We'd have 5 years in order to grow into it. And we had scheduled for it to open the Sunday following the 9/11 attacks. We had no idea. And then you were in this terrible, painful, emotionally charged atmosphere as a nation. And so we didn't know what to expect that first weekend. But what happened was the place was just filled. You know, because there was a lot of folks reaching out, wanting to make some connections and make some sense of what was happening in the world. And they stayed. So instead of having 5 years to grow into this building, we ended up with 5 days. And then it's like, now what do? We can't park all these people. Well, we couldn't do a new fundraiser because we just started a fundraiser to buy parking or something. And so I got some people together that understand real estate and various things. And we got up on the lot up here that was blank, that is now an office space that we use for parking, and said, what do we do? And how do we get there? And as we talked, one of the guys said, well, you know, Eastlake Company is about done with the development. They're part of it, and they're going to be moving on. And they own that building that Kaiser's renting. And so I'll see if they want to sell it. Great. Let's do that. And so they come back and say, yeah, they want $4.2 million. We said, awesome. Yeah. So our big negotiation was, we're going to gather everything we have and we'll put that down. And that was $20,000. He said, now, in order for this to work, we really can't go to a bank. And so would you just carry the paper and we'll make payments to you? And they said yes. And then the leases of the companies that were leasing the building paid the payment. So we were able to use the parking on the weekend. And then slowly we took over what we now call the upper campus. And so I look at that and I just go, look what God did. And it was one of those things that as we looked at it, we went, this is like crazy. Because if this doesn't work, we are going to go down in a massively spectacular fireball. And so, woo, let's do it. And, you know, that whole risk-taking kind of approach, we felt like God was in it, but it felt also like a great risk. So another memorial along the way. But, you know, I think Carmen and I's favorite memorial in all this is that we've gotten to watch our kids and your kids grow up over the last 20 years. Got to watch them graduate and get married and procreate. You know, this whole process has just been wonderful to just stay in one place and get to do life together. And in this process, Carmen and I have been using a slogan that we made up, and it's one of us say, next 10, and put your fist up, and then the other one says, best 10, and we bump fists. So next 10, best 10. Everybody, find somebody to do that. Make that statement. Let's go. Next 10, best
10. Next 10, best 10.
Woo! It's confident. I'm confident that that's true, not for just Carmen and I, but for our church as well.
We have a series story that we started to look at last week. I just want to remind you of it, and then we're going to pull some principles out of it real quick. It is found in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. If you look on your outline, we just referenced it. You can read it on your own this week. Let me just give you the highlights. Jesus is teaching. Large crowds are following. He's trying to figure out the best way to communicate to so many people. And he sees two fishing boats up on the shore. And he sees the guy that owns the boat by the name of Simon Peter right there. And he says, hey, would you mind taking me out just a little offshore in your boat so I could teach from there? And he says, okay. And Jesus hops in his boat, and they just go a little ways offshore, and everybody gathers around the shore to listen to what Jesus had to say. And when Jesus was finished speaking, he looks at Peter and says, how about we push the boat out a little deeper and throw down your nets and let's fish? And it's the middle of the day. Peter had just finished cleaning the nets. He'd been out all night fishing. He didn't catch a thing, and he tells Jesus, like, I just did that. You don't catch fish in the middle of the day. We didn't catch anything, but if you ask me to, Jesus, I will. And so he goes out a little deeper, throws the nets down, and the story says that as he pulls the nets up, they're so full of fish that as he begins to put them in the boat almost capsizes. So he yells to the shore to his business partners, James and John, and he's like, get the other boat out here, and it fills up with fish. And they get back to shore and have this incredible moment of, man, who is this guy that speaks like that and performs miracles like this? And Jesus says, how about you come follow me and I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. And Peter and James and John became disciples of Jesus and began to follow him. Their lives were forever changed by this Jesus encounter and the next that Jesus invited him into. And as a church, that's what we hope happens for each one of us. That as we encounter Jesus, our lives are forever changed as we follow him into next after next after next. And so I want to give you a few quick principles from this story. How did we get here? That's kind of our topic, what we're talking about today. A few things we can pull out of this story. First one is, go ahead and write this down, by responding to God's invitation.
And going back to that scene where Jesus wants to get in the boat and have this moment with these people. What he's really doing there is he is leveraging technology. What happens is he pulls out from shore. As he speaks, his voice is bouncing off the water. It's amplifying his voice so that he can reach more people. And so if you're like down on technology in the church, I just want you to know Jesus started it. Okay? He just leveraged the available technology, and a great thing occurred there as he did that. But the bigger idea here is, let's read verse 3. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out into the deeper water. Oh, man. Look at that. He sat in the boat, and taught. So Peter's sitting in that boat with him, and he's listening to all this. Right there with him. And I wonder how many times he reflected back on that moment. That day when Jesus said, can I use your boat? And he just said, yes. Yes, you can use my boat. Well, Peter said yes, and it changed everything for him. And every day you and I have the opportunity to do the same thing. What's your yes that's still hanging in the balance?
One of the big yeses that I look back on that changed my life was saying yes to a job offer from Pastor Mike 14 years ago. Some friends, Jim and Deborah Noswitz, who actually were neighbors by you, that were friends of mine. I didn't know Mike. I didn't really know anything about East Lake Church. I was visiting, and they were a part of East Lake, and the church was growing, and they knew that there were opportunities. And so I was at their house visiting, and they said, hey, would you be willing to talk to the pastor at East Lake about a job opportunity? And I was like, no. They said, well, he's calling you tonight at 8 o'clock because we told him about you. And we talked on the phone, and I was intrigued. I'd like to think you were.
Oh, very.
Very much.
So intrigued.
There was chemistry.
There was like... And we needed to add a super white dude, you know. All right.
That was really the case. And I didn't know then that some friends introducing me to someone, and then ultimately my wife and I feeling like, you know what, this is God's next for us. And I didn't know what the future would look like. I had no idea that we'd be in this moment today. It was just, yes, this is what the Lord is asking us to do right now. Mm-hmm. And so let's say yes to that. And that yes has shaped my life. I shared this with our staff and some elders at a party that we had this week, that besides my own father, nobody has positively shaped my life more than Pastor Mike. The way that I see the world, the way that I understand the mission of the church, what it looks like to be a pastor, to lead, to dream big, to take risk. And I'm so grateful for that yes that I even reluctantly said 14 years ago, because there was some fear attached to the yes of, for me, coming to Eastlake. But I didn't let fear make the decision, because for me it was, man, am I going to move across the country again? Because I'd been here and left, and now it's come back again. Am I going to start over, you know, in a new place again with people I don't really even know, but I think this is where the Lord is leading. And for me, it was leaving a denomination that I was a pastor and a part of and I was familiar with, and leaving that. And so there was some fear attached to it. But as I look back on that yes, that, man, it changed my life, the trajectory of my life. And then the other yes you invited me into about 5 years ago, changing the next 20 years of my life even farther.
Here we go. And, you know, when we started that process, the whole succession process, you know, we were looking at it, and it was myself and some of the elders, and which is about 8 years ago. And we said, well, when would all this happen? So we looked at, kind of set this thing, and 2017, that's forever from now. Yeah, we'll do it then. And here it is, you know, and today's the day. And the fact of the matter is, we tried to look at, okay, how have churches done this? And we looked, there's very few churches that have done succession well, where the next pastor coming in and moving forward, where it goes really good. That's really rare. But it's also rare in organizations. It's also rare in companies. And you've probably experienced some of those, the new person coming in is like, wah, wah, you know, and it's just a bummer. Nothing, I'm not suggesting anything. But succession, you know, I mean, as a culture, we suck. We put the suck in succession, you know? And it's just kind of the way that it can go. And the biggest thing in churches that seemed to mess it up as we studied them was that the person going out, that's stepping aside, maintains authority. And so he's still telling people what to do. And so we determined that's really a bad idea. And so when I come, you know, Monday, I'm an advisor with no authority. And it's just like being married. You know, I've been doing that for 40 years. I know how to do this role. This is going to be easy. But it's taking, you know, my own yeses along the way. Yes, when Carmen and I drove down here 20 years ago, yes to this opportunity. And then 8 years ago, yes, this succession plan, I think, is what God is saying. And it just continues to roll. And it's been awesome 20 years. I have no hesitation. We are happy to step aside and let the next leaders lead, not just James and Rebecca, but the rest of our staff team, the other volunteers in this church. We want to continue to see that next generation rise, but other people have to get out of the way. That doesn't mean they're not going to be valued and their advice really received, but the other people need to lead. And that's what often is missing in churches. So we're super happy about this. Matter of fact, it's been 20 years, and it's time to, you know, pass the baton. And so, James, we're excited. Jed? Excited for you. all of our lives are marked by these moments that James and I have described where the yes, it's that opportunity for a yes. And how you respond makes all the difference on whether you see God move in your life and move you forward in your life or whether you stall in your spiritual life. Every yes has the potential to be a pivotal moment of change in your life. So what choices are you going to make this week or this month or this year that are, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you into that. Yes, I'm ready to move forward. So how do we get here? By responding to God's invitation. And then number two, write this down, by pushing out deeper.
At some level, we're all where we are today because of decisions to push away from the shore. What was easy? What was comfortable? Maybe it was a yes to a career opportunity, career choice, yes to a person that now you have a family with, or maybe even a yes to Jesus. And as you look back at that yes, what Jesus does, especially in our faith, over and over and over again, is he continually invites us to go deeper with him. Deeper levels of surrender, deeper levels of sacrifice for his mission, learning to live for his kingdom instead of our own. Our good friend Bob Goff calls this, you might remember, standing at the edge of yikes, where you put yourself at such a place in your faith that you'd say, man, if Jesus doesn't show up here, like, you know, this is gonna go down. And so, God, I'm stepping out in faith. I'm going deeper with you. And it's not a place of fear. It's actually a place of excitement. It's a place where we're anticipating, I wonder what Jesus is going to do next. And can you just imagine Peter? I mean, after seeing the miracle that happened with the fish that day in his boat, that every single time Jesus invited him to do something, you have to think in the back of his mind, it was, man, I wonder what's going to happen now. As I'm following Jesus into this next adventure, into this next step, where is he going to bring me now? And it starts with us responding yes to Jesus when he calls us out deeper with him. Again, here's how it said it in Luke in 5, verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish.
I know that Jesus had a lot more in store for Peter than just sticking close to shore. And as you look at the life of Peter, you see that he accomplished amazing things, but that his faith needed to be deep. And so he took him one step at a time and one yes at a time to build that faith that we see throughout Scripture, step by step. And I think it's sort of being invited into this attitude that, you know, I just have a yes. I'm just going to say yes. Jesus, the answer is yes. What's the question? And that if I can live in that place, and I'm not there yet. I'm wanting to be there. I'm going to get there. I'm better at it sometimes than others. But I want to be in that place where I'm saying, Jesus, the answer is yes. Whatever you're saying that next right step is, I want to follow you into it. Peter didn't always respond well. That's one of the things I love about Peter, because I can relate. He had some massive failures. But what I also love is that Jesus always pursued him and forgave him and restored him. And that is such good news for me, and he'll do the same for you.
I want to let you know what the next 20-year plan is for our church. All right, you ready? We're going to keep pushing out deeper with Jesus. That's what we're going to do. We're going to keep saying, Jesus, where are you leading? What is your spirit saying? And then courageously respond. Because you have to courageously respond, because you don't always know what's going to happen. And that's number three. Go ahead and write this down. Here's the last point. How did we get here? By embracing uncertainty. Peter didn't know what was going to happen. In fact, as Mike said, it was a reluctant yes. I mean, here's Peter just watched Jesus do what at that point he thought Jesus, you know, was the professional at, which was speaking. And like, wow, look at how everybody hangs on every word that this guy has to say about God. And Jesus talked about God and knowing him in ways that no one had ever heard before. And so Jesus did what he was good at. And now Jesus is going to try to tell Peter what he's good at. Like, he's going to almost try to do his job for him. And so Peter had this reluctant yes to go out there, but don't miss it, that he did still say yes. He embraced the uncertainty. He said, I don't know how this is going to play out, but Jesus, if this is what you want me to do, I'm going to say yes to you, even in uncertainty.
That's hard to do, because, you know, we really like to kind of know how things are going to go, but the truth is none of us know what the future looks like. It's absolutely a mystery to us. But what we can learn from looking back is that Jesus is worthy of our trust, and his plans for us are good. And they always run a parallel course with the kingdom of God being fulfilled in our lives. Those two go together. God's purposes for us are good, and the kingdom of God is going to move forward when we walk in those purposes. You see, he wants us to be on mission with him. He's praying to the Father, and he says this, Jesus, that is, from John 17, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. He's speaking about his disciples, but I think he can also say he's throwing forward to us today. He's given us a mission. We're to walk in this mission with him. And I think the principle that I've learned in my life is, am I interruptible? You know, have I set things so solidly and that there's no way I'm backing off of this? Or am I interruptible? Can I let the Holy Spirit speak to me and change course? Because if I can do that, I'm ready with a yes all the time. And that's really what this succession planning has been about. For me, it's been that point of, yes, Lord, I believe that's you. And so we are going to walk into this. A guy named Jim Collins wrote a book a number of years ago called Good to Great. And speaking about companies and organizations, he said something like this. You got to make sure you get the right people on your bus, your organization, your company, your church. Get the right people on the bus, and then he said, and make sure they're in the right seat. And so I just want you to know, I'm not getting off the bus, but I am moving to the back where the troublemakers sit. It's more fun back there. It's just, you know, this is our community too. And so we don't plan on leaving this community. What I'm really doing, retiring from meetings, okay? That's what I'm doing. That's my new gig, and that I'm looking forward to. And I've had some people who have come to me and said, Mike, you're 62. You know, you're too young. Obviously, they're older than that to be saying it, but you're too young to be retiring. I said, look, I don't want to become the Brett Favre of pastors, all right? You know, I was like, when is he retiring? You know? That's how you end up in Minnesota, okay? So I don't plan on that happening. So this is it. We've set this for 8 years. We're ready to rock. And so this is it. And pass the baton.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's There's an inscription on there that I want to read to you. It says this: passing the baton from lead pastor Mike Meeks to lead pastor James Grogan, September 10th, 2017. And then on the other side, a scripture reference, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us.
Awesome. Thank you, Mike. You and Carmen are loved, appreciated, and we will keep our eye on you in the back of the bus, because there will be trouble coming. And I actually got something for you. I'm going to put this in my office. This is really cool. And what I got for you is, you know, Mike is now Pastor Emeritus, is the title. And I remember we were in a meeting a few months ago, and someone, you know, you just kind of stopped in because you already retired from meetings.
Most of them.
And someone was like, hey, when somebody asks us, what does Pastor Emeritus mean? What do we say? And then you said, hey, that's for you guys to figure out. And then you said a little phrase that I just filed in the back of my head.
As you were walking out the door,
I thought, that's funny. And that would be great on a t-shirt. And so I had it put on a t-shirt. This is for you, right there. And this is for kids who sit in the back of the bus. That's what they...
Yeah.
So...
Well, and my wife really wants this shirt for herself. If you know my wife, you know that's not true. Thank you.
Well,
you can kiss me.
This is a real special moment for us, and this has been an awesome, awesome week, and we've done a lot of celebrating and reflecting, and we want to seal this moment in prayer as a church family together. And so I'm going to invite Pastor Mike's wife, Carmen, and my wife, Rebecca, to come out, and our elder team, if they would join us. Come on out. And this is our current elder team, and we're going to have them pray over us. And,
matter of fact, I'm going to ask, I've asked Terry and Janet Keating to pray for us. And these guys have obviously been around a long time. These are some of our closest friends. They've been in this church almost as long as we have. And 8 years ago, Terry was part of that very first conversation about succession and helped to architect some of what has actually come to fruition today. And so I've asked Terry if you would pray for us.
I thought I'd take a minute before my nap time, because maybe we could get together and pray. Traditionally in the church, we see in Scripture, when there's a change of leadership, typically we lay hands on the leaders going out and the new leadership coming in. And we're going to do that now. And if you're comfortable with that and you'd like to join us in that, if you just extend your hand toward Rebecca and James and Carmen and Mike, and we'll pray. Father God, thank you for being with us this morning. We don't know where these 20 years went that Mike and Carmen have served you so faithfully. Scripture tells us that in your eyes, 1,000 years is like a day. And we can't get our head around that. But we can understand that Mike and Carmen have served you faithfully every day for 20 years. And Lord, they had the courage to say yes when you asked them to take that next step. And what came out of that small group of people in their living room was thousands and thousands of people in the churches everywhere that have found you, that can now praise you, that now want you in their lives. Simply because Carmen and Mike said yes when you said, here's what I have next for you. And Father, we couldn't be more grateful to you for supporting them in this 20 years, and to them for the service they have granted us. Father, we know that you're not finished with them, that there'll be another next, and we understand that they will say yes with the same faith and courage that they said yes the first time. And when that period of time comes to an end, and when they finish up, we could say and you could say and we can pray with you that in all of this, it was time well spent. And Father, we pray this in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus. And everybody says, amen.
I'm going to ask Eric Baldomero. Yeah. Eric is the chair of our elder team right now and a great friend of mine. We've been in a growth group together, a couples growth group for almost a decade now. And so ask Eric. That means we're old too. That's what that means. If you would pray over Rebecca and I.
If you'd like to continue to lay hands on Pastor James and Becky, you might want to use your other arm. Heavenly Father, thank you for skillfully planning and executing the succession plan. We're grateful for the guidance and clarity you've provided during this process. Lord, we lift up our lead pastor, James and Rebecca, to you. We pray for their protection over them and their family. We rebuke the enemy over this family. We ask that you cover them in love and grace as they undertake this new role. Surround James and Becky with the right people that support and encourage your will. We pray over their marriage. We pray for James and Rebecca to stand firm in solidarity, compassion, honor, and patience as they navigate through this new season as lead pastor. Mm-hmm. We pray over Rebecca and her role as lead pastor's wife, that you guide her and give her clear steps of what her role will be, and she will be open to the assignments you call her to do. We pray for wisdom. We pray for you to arm James with the word to provide clarity as he executes his duties as lead pastor. We pray as he continues to honor you in making decisions for the church that continue to bring people to find and follow you. We pray for supernatural strength to carry the responsibilities as lead pastor of East Lake Church and lead with truth, grace, and kindness to lead the staff and volunteers towards the vision and mission you set out for this church. We are grateful for the leadership and servant heart of James and Rebecca. We pray for their continued love and obedience for you as they serve and dedicate their lives for the continued growth of your kingdom. We pray this in your precious son's name, we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
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 Thank you, guys.